All right. Welcome to this week's episode number 92 with Chris Miles. Not the $6 million man. Not like Steve Austin. I used to love that show as a kid, watching reruns when I was a little kid. Chris is the $300 million man. With all of his work around finances, around creating wealth and financial freedom for his clients, with his company Money Ripples, he has helped his folks create over $300 million in earned and gained and income in the bank. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, pleasure to be here. I was getting a little nervous. I was about to say, hey, I'm not worth $300 million yet. Like, give me some time here.
Right. Well, but you've helped people overall, your overall clients amass that kind of fortune and wealth and opportunity. So let's kind of jump into your why. Why is it that you're passionate about helping people? Because I think where our conversation is going to go is helping people understand money, understand some opportunity for finances, because we don't get taught this in school. And there's a belief, a fundamental belief around money that most miss. But for you, why is it important that you help people understand finances and how to attain financial freedom?
My big why really is, I think it's like everybody's. I think everybody has a purpose to be on this planet, right? I believe that God's put me on this planet for a reason, and we have this purpose to fulfill to make this planet a better place when we leave it. And for me, I've been very fortunate that, one, I love teaching, right? Even though I've been able to retire twice, I just can't retire because it's just boring, you know? I don't feel like, even though I can go and just quit and live a comfortable life, I really don't want to do that. I feel like I've been blessed with so much more, and I've been blessed with learning a lot of things along the way that helped me become work optional, as we're titling the show, right? So for that reason, that's why I'm here doing what I'm doing every day, is that I want to create a ripple effect through people's lives, which is hence the name Money Ripples. It's that ripple effect that we're all here to create in others' lives and bless their lives. And that's what we're here to do.
Yeah, love it. So what two careers have you retired from?
You know, both pretty much the same. The first time I was able to retire was in 2006. Let me take you back a little bit more, right? So, you know, when I was raised, I wasn't raised on you know, being a financial genius or anything like that. I was raised by typical middle class, you know, baby boomers, right? Barely baby boomers. And they're a little bit older than that. But, you know, I was raised by them. You know, my dad taught me to work hard. You know, he was hoping that he could work for 30, 40 years for the same company like his, you know, he's always been taught. However, companies weren't loyal to you, right? You know, and he would find himself in a lot of stress. And, you know, my mom was an artist and she was doing her thing as well. But the problem is with my dad, like, although they're taught me great values, like your word is your bond, hard work, you know, things like that. The one thing is, when it came to money, there was, for them both, it was a scarcity. There's always a scarcity of it. We can't afford this. What do you think? Money grows on trees. I'm not made of money, you know? That was the kind of typical thing I was raised with. And my dad even, he was saying, man, I think my job's going to literally kill me. And I didn't want that life. And so when I went to college, I said, you know, I think I want to take a different path than just the typical 9-to-5 job. So I wanted to become an entrepreneur. I was going to become a business consultant, funny enough. And as I became an entrepreneur, I became a financial advisor. And I ended up dropping out of college, never went back. So I'm a college dropout and was a financial advisor for several years, when my dad then said, well, Chris, when are you going to advise me? Now, you have to understand my dad, when it came to money, like, it wasn't just that you can't afford it. He was also very, very cheap, like depression era mentality cheap. The kind of guy that throws away nothing. He's a hoarder. In fact, he's probably like level 3 or 4 on the hoarders list, right? I mean, this guy was bad. And so I sat down with him, and this guy always taught me to save everything. No debt, save everything. He was kind of like Dave Ramsey's best friend. So I sit down with him and I look at his finances for the first time in my life. He was always very guarded about his money. I looked at his finances for the first time in his life, in my life. And as I'm looking at it, I said, Dad, you're 61 years old. If you want to retire today, even though you've stuffed all your money in your 401k, even though you're debt-free, including your house, you better hope you die in 5 years, because that's how long your money's going to last you. And of course, that's not what he wanted. He said, well, give me something else. I said, well, I don't know what else to tell you. You did everything right. You stuffed your money in mutual funds like I've always taught. You've been stuffing the 401k, getting your match. You've paid off all your debt. You've essentially done everything right, and yet it's still not enough. And guys, that bugged me. That bugged me a lot, because I was teaching the same thing. I was teaching them to do what my dad did. I was teaching everybody to save everything, spend nothing, save it forever, put it into mutual funds, and hopefully someday you'll have something. Only to find out he didn't have enough. And when I realized all my clients were in the same situation as him, and I was even going down the same path as him, hoping that I'd be able to retire on these dumb mutual funds, I started to question if everything I was teaching was true. And I had a choice. Either I could keep going down the path I wanted to go on, or, you know, and of course, keep my career intact, or leave that career and do something different. And so I chose the latter. I said, I got to keep my integrity intact. I can't teach something that I don't believe in. I can't teach something I'm not practicing. I suck at teaching things that I'm not a good BSer that way. So ended up, I quit being a financial advisor. But at that same time, when the student's ready, the teacher appears, one of my friends was starting to do real estate investing. And he kind of introduced me to some other guys that were doing real estate investing that were retired in their, sometimes their 20s and 30s, even as young as that. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is it. And especially when I learned it was about passive income. How much income can you create from the money you have? Not just accumulating a bunch of money, but actually having income coming in. And later that year in 2006, it was 2005 when I was sitting down with my dad. The next year, 2006, I found out, I'm looking at the numbers, and I said, oh my gosh, I've got enough income coming in that I can go to work or not. You know, I was, at the time, I was actually just being a mortgage broker and as well as teaching some stock trading on the side. But by that point, I realized I can stop working right now. And I was 28, almost 29 years old. It was a big epiphany to me. That was the first time I retired. Second time was because I screwed up the first time because the recession hit a few years later and I found myself over $1 million in debt, had to dig myself out of that hole. And that's a whole other story there we can go into.
Yeah. 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 That's a big mountain to climb out of, but you did it.
I did it. Yep.
So I want to share a little story. You know, in my retail business, we are in the process of hiring a new team member for the delivery truck and had the pleasure of meeting a really young, ambitious 18-year-old. And we're interviewing a couple other candidates. So the jury is still out, if you will, on that hiring decision. But he said something interesting. You know, we often ask, where do you see yourself in a few years, 5 years? And he said, you know, I definitely want to secure my own freedom. And I think that's going to be around, doing real estate. Hmm. You know, I don't know 100% what that is, but that's where I definitely want to be. And, you know, I'm sure he sees a lot of reels like yours on TikTok, a lot of reels and information from others. All these young people are seeing this opportunity, even though there's a real severe problem right now with the cost of living that exists. And, you know, so I applaud him because he's looking at an opportunity as opposed to looking at a reality and just getting down on it, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought that was very interesting. So, you know, he didn't drop the words passive income, but obviously you do. And this is what you, I'm guessing you teach around real estate and investing and creating that passive income. But, you know, is it really the kind of investment that you can just, well, let me have you define what you mean by passive income.
Yeah, when I define passive income, I give it the definition that most people should be giving it, which is, pretty much your money is working harder for you, so you don't have to work so hard for money, right? Your money is actually creating income without you having to work for it. That's a big lie that's out there today. We go on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all these real estate guys are out there, and a lot of them are friends. And again, there's nothing, they're good guys, they do great work, but don't for one second believe that most of what they teach out there is passive. When you hear about the big money, right? When they show you the big checks, they're showing you the, you know, like from doing flips or they're doing novations or they're doing wholesaling deals, right? That is not passive at all. That is an active, hardworking business that you're in. Now, can you make millions of dollars? Absolutely. And if you're starting from nothing and you're trying to make something, that kind of real estate business is awesome. But don't for one second believe it's passive because it is not passive at all. Never is it passive. So that's the big thing I want you to be aware of is that most of the time when they're talking about passive income, this is why I kind of hate the word passive income being thrown around right now because people are tainting it. They're telling you can do that Amazon drop business and you'll make passive income. No, you won't. You will be doing active income to create more money. And that's fine. But remember, passive income is where your money is doing the hard work, not you. So the way you do that is when you invest with other people, where you invest with the investors. You're not the one going and doing all the hard work. That's not passive. So that's what I talk about. And so, yeah, the fallacy is that you can start from nothing and create passive income. That's not really true. If you don't have any money, you exchange time and energy. But when you do have money, you can exchange that to have that do the hard work for you. So that's when it actually becomes passive.
Well, I had this conversation last week on the show with Chaz Wolf about masterminds.
Great guy.
Right? And yeah, so you know Chaz. And so, you know, the issue with today is because everybody has their own media, I'm creating media right now with this show. So many can stand in a position of authority because you can get that scroll on the screen and you can make something look great as we do here. And it all begins to prop up that ideal, that new definition, right? So in the context of masterminds, we have in 2023 gotten so far away from original concept and popularized concept of 100 years ago, right? When a true mastermind was multiple people coming together for definite focus and common goal. And now it's, you know, the word, and it doesn't mean to denigrate those running these groups. There's a lot of good that come from them. I'm in them, but to the pure definition of it, it's not, right? Like I spend time on Reddit, maybe more so than I should. And I saw somebody actually post, for some reason, Turo is in my feed right now on Reddit. I've never rented from Turo. I don't even rent cars. I do Uber and Lyft mostly. But I find it interesting. And I saw, thinking of getting into Turo for passive income. And boy, this person got blasted because it's the furthest thing from passive. You're literally having to pick people up at airports and in one part your taxi service, other parts your car repair, other parts your customer service. So yeah, be very cognizant of what you're getting into and what you're involved in, right?
That's like, right.
What would be, you know, so you shared getting into the wholesale business, the fix and flip business, getting those big checks. Yes, there could be big money, but you shared earlier on the show that there was a $1 million hole you had to crawl out of. Those holes, nobody shows those, right? No one makes TikToks about that. Share what that battle was like. You know, what was the reason you were $1 million in debt?
Yeah. So as you know, 2006, things are great. Money's coming in more than I've ever seen in my lifetime, right? Well, we go into 2007 and I decided to partner up some guys and we were going to create our own education business to teach people how to get out of the rat race, you know, and that was the focus of the company. And our main primary people we were talking to were people that were primarily flipping real estate. So we were talking to a lot of real estate flippers. And of course, right about mid-2007, most people weren't talking about a recession quite yet at that time. Everything was booming still. Everybody was thinking that real estate only goes up. Well, I started seeing that happen first in 2007 because all of a sudden, banks started getting tighter and tighter on their lending requirements, even to the point where I couldn't even access the equity in my house. That's the ironic thing is that because I was a mortgage broker, I figured if I'm going to keep a safe place to store my money, just store it inside my house. Worst case, I can always pull it back out whenever I need it. Well, that's not true when banks start sniffing recession. And I'm even predicting that even going into 2023 and 2024 here, you're going to see the same kind of things happening where the bullseye, the target is going to get smaller for what banks will say we'll lend you for. Well, I was a business owner. They didn't like me, you know, especially when I was starting a new business with partners. So I dropped my passive income streams because one of the partners said, hey, focus just on this. This is our mission. This is our passion, right? We did that. On top of that, I'm stuffing all my money in my real estate, even trying to do things with you know, flips and rentals, but I didn't care about the rentals if they were, you know, if they weren't positive cash flowing because they were appreciating so much. I can kind of, you know, fudge the numbers a bit more, right? Because even though I'm losing money, but technically, even if I'm losing a few hundred a month, if I'm making thousands every year, who cares? Well, that doesn't work, especially when you go into a recession. And so I watched this perfect storm happen. And I'm not talking about the perfect storm in a good way. I mean, the George Clooney, you're going to die away. Spoiler alert.
Right. Right.
So that kind of situation was happening to me at that time. So things were getting tight. And not to mention, because we were always focusing our company on real estate flippers, we were suffering in our business to the point I wasn't taking home paychecks. So I cut off my income streams of passive income, most of them. I then cut off my active income streams weren't paying me either. On top of that, I still had a lifestyle I was paying for because I had moved into a new home at that point, stuffed all my cash in there, can't get access to my cash. And so very quickly between business and personal expenses, I was in the hole $15,000 a month. So it doesn't take a genius, especially when you start seeing real estate values tank at the same time. So I'm losing real estate values and I'm losing money left and right, charging up credit cards or whatever else I could do to try to float to the next month to see if I can make it then. By 2008, I found myself about $1 million, $1.1 million in debt. And that was a pretty sucky place to be. I didn't file for bankruptcy, although I could have easily done it. And it probably would have been easier to dig out of that hole if I did. But I'm just too dang stubborn. So instead, I had to figure out how to create money with no money anymore, no credit, really nothing available other than my body and my mind, right? And that's what I was trying to do at that time. And so I actually, here's what I did to get out. One, I had to focus on my mindset, right? The mindset was the biggest issue because, I mean, imagine I was the guy that's supposed to have it all figured out and now I'm a fraud. So I stopped teaching people how to get out of the rat race because I was back in it. Again, I can't teach what I don't do or know. So instead, I started teaching people how to find money because that was the one thing I was doing really well. I was getting very resourceful in how to find and create money. And so I was doing the same thing for people because people would say, Chris, I would love to pay you to learn what you know, but I just can't find the money. And I wouldn't say this verbally, but in the back of my mind, I remember thinking, oh, their situation is better than mine. I'm over $1 million in debt. They're at least at zero. That's a pretty dang good place to start. Heck, homeless people are at zero. That's a better place to start than where I was at. You know, so I started telling them, I was like, well, if I can find the money, would you then pay me? And they said, yes. And so I'd help them find the money, whether it be through different tax breaks and things like that, ways to reduce their taxes. Could be creative ways to pay off debt. I was doing that myself. I actually created a strategy called the cash flow index that if you actually look up, you'll see guys like Garrett Gunderson talk about it. Well, guess who you learned it from, you know? So I created things, strategies like that. I've created ways to pay off debt to free up more cash flow and ways to start tracking money and be a wiser steward of your resources so that money starts coming in. And as I started to do that, the next thing I know, the average person, especially a business owner, was finding on it in the first year alone about $34,000 in the first year. And that blew my mind. Again, nothing about passive income. We were just teaching people how to free up money, not even investing the money. And that's what really helped revitalize our business. It got us out of bankruptcy and got me even out of the potential bankruptcy I could have been in. And so that's really where that kind of started. But again, it was a daily struggle on the mindset piece to have to control really that abundance mentality versus the scarcity mentality. Because I had collector calls coming in every single day, multiple times a day. Heck, my friends stopped calling, but my creditors would call religiously, right? So those are the kind of things that I was dealing with at the time.
So, you know, we'll get to how you help folks, like what your business is today and how people can connect with you. But what do you want, you know, and this could be for anybody, but specifically, what do our high school kids need to know? Because they're seeing a lot of stuff. You know, sadly, and again, this goes to the technology at all of our fingertips. A lot of teens think they're going to graduate high school and that the constraints of high school are stopping them from being a six-figure to million-dollar plus earner as an influencer. Mm-hmm. And they think, oh, once I just get out, I'll have all this free time and I can be instantly wealthy. So a lot of them want to be that, unfortunately. And I say that unfortunately because the reality is that's not really a business. Mm-hmm. It's really not a business because things change. You're always building that business on somebody else's algorithm, somebody else's rules, somebody else's platform. And truth be told, agencies like FTC, SEC are coming after influencers more and more because all the while they're being paid without disclosing it, you know all the pitfalls. But what would you tell kids to be hopeful about from a financial perspective, college age people to be hopeful about, to look for ways to create positive cash flow, ways to get into the world of having your money work harder for you than you work for it?
To focus on the positive, I'm going to hit the negative first. So the reality, right? The reality is we're going to have harder times than what you're seeing today. And that really stinks for both our high schoolers, which I have right now 8 kids, blended family. I have 6, my wife has 2. Therefore, she's more stressed than I am. because I'm used to those, that many kids. I have a chain gang. But six of my, my oldest six of my eight are teenagers right now. The oldest almost 20. And so the same thing I'm telling my kids right now. And that thing is, one, we're moving into harder times. It's going to get worse before it gets better. I really believe that. I think the next 10 years are going to get ugly. But here's the good news. The good news is this, is that what you're seeing today, there's always eternal principles. Principles that have worked with money since the beginning of time. And I don't mean save money, pay off debt. That stuff actually hasn't worked since any time. That only gets you so far. And then you end up just being a someone who has high net worth, but you're still broke every month. The key is, of course, just like my shirt says, is cash flow equals freedom. You know, that's the big thing. So the big way to get cash flow, the cause of cash flow, is not just make more money. Stop asking the question, how do I make more money? Instead, ask the question, what can I do to create value for somebody else? How can I create value for more people? How can I serve somebody, solve problems, or add value in such a way that money is inevitable? That has always worked since the beginning of time. It's always being a problem solver. How do I solve those problems? So you mentioned someone, you know, trying to make it big on social media, be an influencer. The problem is everybody's running towards that. The worst thing you could do as a career choice is go to where everybody's already been going. It's just like the IT industry, right? Now we're seeing big layoffs in the IT industry. Now there's people that are much older and more experienced fighting for the same jobs. But you know who's not fighting for jobs right now? The trades, craftsmen, people in like independent contractors. I tell my kids, I said, listen, if you can do what most independent contractors will not, which is show up when you say you're going to do it, like do what you say when you say you're going to do it, essentially have integrity. If you can do that, there's no way you won't make money in this trade unless you really suck. And then maybe you shouldn't be in that trade. But the truth is, you really should be able to prosper just by showing up, really, and just doing what you say you're going to do. Be a person of your word. That is something that's in short supply today. So go away from where everybody's running, run the opposite direction. And I say the same thing with investing. If everybody says you should go in the stock market, that means it's time to get out of the stock market. If everybody says buy crypto, it's time to get out of crypto. If everybody says buy real estate, which they're not right now, that's the time to not buy real estate. But right now, nobody's saying what people are saying, oh, buying real estate's horrible right now, other than a few influencers, right? For the most part, the media and everybody's telling you, don't do it. That's how I know I should be doing it more. Last year in 2022, you know what I did to prepare for 2023? Is I listened to what the media was saying. And everybody was saying, don't hold cash. You'll lose to inflation. So what did I do? I built up more cash. And now what's happening is that people are starting to get tighter and tighter on liquidity. I have more cash. That gives me more options and more freedom to be able to control my terms. That is where the essential thing is. So for anybody who's listening to this right now, you're a teenager or whatever you might be, the youth of today, is stop listening to the media. Stop listening to all the influencers, because for the most part, they're just trying to sell you crap anyways. Is instead, do the opposite of what you're hearing people say for you to do and find a way to do that. And again, align that with your talents, your God-given natural talents that you have. Align it with those and your passions as well. And you start to get those aligned. And in a way that serves people and solves problems for other people, I promise you, and this is what got me out of my hole twice, to retire twice by the time I was 39, is I focus on that one key principle, which is dollars follow value created for other people.
Love that. Dollars follow value created for other people. I love that. You know, what you were saying there, cash is king. And I think somewhere in a cave, there's an archaeologist yet to find a carving that equaled at the time cash is king. And I think we can find it in hieroglyphics and some pyramid yet to be discovered. right? I mean, like, I think when it comes to real estate specifically, time goes unbeaten. Mm-hmm. You know, people that were saying don't buy a house in 21 when rates were sub 3%, yeah, because the price was high, boy, did they look like fools now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm in your camp. I don't think we're going to see rates go down anytime soon, mm-hmm, at least not significantly. We may see a curbing of increases, but flatlining and plateauing to where we're at, as I think we're in that for the next handful of years.
Absolutely.
By the folks that I pay attention to. And so time, consistency, and commitment beat a lot of things. So, how is it, you know, we can get into, and obviously you get paid for your how, right? So I don't, you know, this job is to have people be connected to you. But if somebody's saying, all right, I like what this guy's saying, but I don't quite understand how he helps me if I have money, if I have cash stacked up and I want to get it active, what are the things that you do with folks to get their money working harder for them than they work for it?
Yeah. And actually, I don't mind sharing the how, because the truth is you probably won't do it anyways. And so you have somebody holding your feet to the fire, right? But yeah, the how is simply this, that we try to figure out how to get your money out of prison and then get it out working for you. That's really all we're doing. So many people are told to lock your money up in prison. You're told throw equity in your house, like what I did, the mistake I made, right? And then I watched it all disappear in that last recession. You know, that's not where you lock up equity, because you can't get to that money. It's also not a good place to just also throw your money in the stock market. They're also telling you that. And why? Because financial institutions are paid based on you keeping that assets under their management. They'll take their fees from you each and every year, whether you make money or not. And that's how they pay financial advisors, who then teach you what's wise to do with your money. This is why I'm an anti-financial advisor, right? Because of that very reason, is that I realized I was a salesman in a suit as a financial advisor. And so we tell you to do the opposite. We tell you, no, get your money out of prison. Don't lock it up in that dumb 401k that makes lackluster returns. Usually, by the way, less than 2%, like 2% less than what the stock market can even do. That's what you're hopefully to see. And that's before fees come out. So really you make like 3% less. So stop throwing in a mediocre 401k that doesn't make you any money. Instead, get your money out into your control and then deploy it. Now, where would you deploy it? Like, where are the places that are passive, right? Like truly passive. Now, I'll start with the semi-passive one that's passive, but still there's some active management involved. And by the way, when you're a passive investor, doing due diligence, make sure you're researching these things, is the more harder work that you have to do. So number one is turnkey rentals. Now, notice I didn't just say long-term rentals or short-term rentals. That's very active business. And even long-term rentals, if you're managing your own property, you're still a slave to that property. So I buy turnkey rentals where I can buy them anywhere in the country. Because the truth is, in the western half of the United States, like where I live right now, you're not going to find any decent real estate deals out here, especially if you want cash flow. But if I go out to the southeast, maybe even the Midwest, even some of the central areas like Oklahoma and places like that, I can find relatively strong cash flow deals. So I can find a company who actually has properties in those areas or finds properties for you in those areas, can tell you ahead of time before you buy it, what cash flow you're going to make based on what the rent is going to be. So I go into that property with eyes wide open. I even have them do, you know, inspections, everything else. The only thing I have to do is go buy it. So if I buy it with a mortgage, I got to deal with the bank. That's my hardest job. After that, when it's bought, the property management company takes care of all the issues for me. I don't find the renters. I don't deal with the tenants and toilets and trash. I'm simply just owning the property while somebody else manages it for me. Now, it is semi-passive because you might have to manage the property manager, especially if they drop the ball on something, right? But for the most part, I mean, I've got properties that I have to keep asking my wife, saying, wait a minute, can we double check to make sure we're still getting paid? Because it's been so quiet. We're just getting paychecks regularly every month. Kind of makes you a little bit nervous, right? But I've had other properties where that wasn't the case, because the property manager doesn't do a good job. You got to step in, either take control, fire them, find another one or something like that. So that's the least passive of what I typically talk about. Now, other things, you could lend money. You could be the bank, but do that for other investors, real estate investors. Did you know that real estate investors don't mind paying 10%+ returns, interest rates on their money, especially if they deal with banks? So right now, lending is actually one of my favorite things currently. Cash flow on the properties, not as great because the interest rates have skyrocketed so much, unless you buy it all outright in cash. But lending's been great because they're willing to pay you pretty much premium returns. I'm also, you know, looking at things like self-storage, although that's still been a little bit beat up in 2022 and going into 2023. I'm avoiding apartment complexes, although that's another place you can get passive income from. So self-storage, apartment complexes, could be commercial real estate. Again, they're having a hard day right now, so it's not as great of a place. You have to be very picky about it right now.
Yeah, on that note, boy, if you are stacked up with cash, have a solve, you know, a strong business that you can show to a bank, if you choose to go the bank route, or if you choose to go hard money route, boy, there will be tremendous opportunity in commercial real estate.
Absolutely.
In the next year to year and a half, when all these 5-year leases that are renewing throughout the last few years of what we've gone through, leases that were signed 2018, 2019, et cetera, man, there's going to be just tremendous opportunity.
Oh yeah.
There.
I agree. It's one of those things where, because people say, well, what do you think about buying apartment complexes? I said, well, right now, for the most part, it's pretty darn hard to find a good one. If you talk to the good operators, right? The ones that have been around in the business for a while. I said, but just wait, it's going to get better, because I know even guys that have been experienced, some of them are saying, you know what? It's been brutal out there the last year, especially because the interest rates have gone up so much. Now that's throwing off all of our numbers when we have to try to fix the interest rate with the banks later. They're looking for any kind of creative strategy to find financing for that money. Many of them are doing what's called capital calls, where they're essentially asking their equity partners, people like you that might put money in, saying, hey, can you put some more money into this business to kind of keep it afloat, keep it going until we get this figured out? Not the ideal situation for sure when you're used to getting double-digit returns. Now you have to throw more money in, right?
If anybody where I'm invested said that to me, the very next thing I would be doing is saying, I'd like my money back, please.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I had a client that same situation
asking
right now.
For money to keep. Yeah. That's a scary one for sure to pay attention to. And I guess that would be a good due diligence question to ask, right?
Yeah.
Now, I guess, you know, the answer is only as good as the person giving it to you. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine you could speak to others that are involved. That's a very good question to ask. Have you done any capital calls? And if so, when and what was that about? That's a tremendous question to ask.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it in talking about commercial, you know, my retail business is across the street from a landmark mall in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, Park City Mall. It will always be Park City Mall. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's never going to change the name, even though the buyers, I think ownership has changed 3 times in the 12 years we've been there. We're not in the mall. We're across the street, although they do own the land. Mm-hmm. Talk about passive, you know, land leases is probably one of the most tremendous passive income opportunities you can have, because you just own the land, lease it to somebody that owns the building, and they got to worry about all the problems.
Yep.
You just need to know how to structure that deal appropriately. But it dawns on me that the person or people that figure out how to repurpose that mall space into something other than shopping, which is going to mean rezoning, it's going to mean dealing with all the little individual fiefdoms of this municipal board here and this city or, you know, board there. The person that figures that out will be just tremendously wealthy. Because the problem is these boards work at a snail's pace. Mm-hmm. You're asking them to rezone, right? You're asking them to totally upend the way they look at commercial property in their town or in their city. And I see opportunities for self-storage in some of those spaces. I see opportunities for apartments and mixed living in some of those spaces, mm-hmm. opportunities for medical and other professional practice in those spaces. But boy, you're climbing a mountain. The problem is it can be done. We climb mountains every day in this country. The problem is you're climbing that mountain with 9% interest rates at your feet.
That's right.
And when it takes 3 years, that's tough. Do you have any insights there? I mean, is anybody in your world exploring that? Has anybody started to figure that out?
Yeah, that's the amazing thing about, you know, find the right people. And that's one thing we do for our clients when they hire us as consultants, that we actually help them find pre-vetted deals, pre-vetted, you know, investors more, right? Not necessarily the deals, but the investors that have those kind of deals. Like, for example, I want to make sure somebody has at least 15 years of experience, you know, in the real estate game. I want them to have at least one full market cycles experience so that they do this very thing you're talking about, which is being able to pivot, right? How quickly can you shift and move away from what you had locked in your brain, which was the way that was supposed to be, and do something a little bit different? You know, so like you mentioned, self-storage, we've seen that happen already. Self-storage conversions happening with big box stores, especially after 2020, post 2020, all these humongous department type stores, or even just the big warehouse type of units, they've now converted into self-storage, right? Sometimes malls, they've done that, even with strip malls. They've you know, now affordable housing is the thing that everybody keeps talking about, because now prices skyrocketed so much. Well, how can we serve more people? Some people have even done hotel conversions, although the one caveat with that is there's a lot of people that didn't have any experience doing any hotel conversion in this space, went from apartment investing to hotel conversions. that adds a layer of risk because now they're doing something they've never done before, right? Like you mentioned, deal with boards, having to deal with rezoning, things like that. It can get tricky. So beware.
I said, though, I chose my words very purposefully and very intentionally. Mm-hmm. Fiefdoms. Because a lot of those folks that sit at the heads of those boards view themselves as kings and queens. And there's a lot of moving cheese around and most of them don't like it.
Nope. It's true. It's well, and that's why you like to have the, and that's another thing too. When you're looking at investing in certain states, you want to make sure it's a state that has a little less of that kind of governance, right? That's why people say, oh, what do you think about Chicago? I'm like, well, it's a big HOA. I would never want to invest in Chicago. Now I have some people that live there.
Whereas West Virginia.
Yeah. West Virginia. Yeah.
West Virginia is fantastic.
Right.
They've only recently started to care where you put a septic tank. Seriously.
Yeah. It's almost anarchy, right? It's yeah. So it's good to find those places and it's good to find those people that know what's going on because, you know, the one thing that's really weird is that, well, I shouldn't say it's weird, but it's natural is if someone lives on the West Coast, like Oregon, Washington, California, specifically, especially in California, when they look at real estate, they say, oh, that's risky. It's way too high. Well, too high where? Because I look at Tennessee or North Carolina, it looks awesome. You know, even Oklahoma, Arkansas, you know, the birthplace of Walmart, right? I mean, even places like that, the markets that aren't pretty, that aren't considered hot. Like everybody looks at Phoenix, they look at Tampa. Those are the places that got overbought. Yes, because people were rushing there. Well, I don't like to rush where everybody's rushing. I like to rush to where nobody is rushing or very few are. And that's the key. And again, this is why it's good to have that community around you, those people that have their ears to the ground nationwide, they're hearing what's going on. That's why I am in certain mastermind groups or big conference mastermind type groups too. But I'm in those because I want to hear what's going on around the country, right? I want to know real time what's happening. I'll tell you this, here's our two darlings for our clients right now. The two that probably get the most attention besides like hard money lending, things like that. One is oil and gas. Oil and gas has been completely poo-pooed all over for the last several years. But there's several of my clients that like last year earned 35% on some of the syndicated deals in the oil and gas space. Now it's not typical oil and gas, like the working interest where they talk about drilling, like you're starting from speculative, you know, finding the land, drilling. These are lands that have already been drilled. You're basically just owning the land because oil companies, believe it or not, don't want to own the land. They just want to drill on it. They want to own it. They'll lease it from you. So they'll pay you rent to drill on that land. And then they'll pay you royalties, a cut of the royalties of what they drill too. So you can kind of, it's almost like that triple net lease type of, you know, thing. Like you were talking about renting the land to somebody else, you know, on the commercial space, same thing with oil, and you can make some great double-digit returns there. And so that's one that, again, a lot of people really haven't caught on to yet. That's been great and paying awesome returns. And now that oil prices are going up just recently, that actually makes the returns better. That was in a deflated, you know, oil price market. You know, when we started seeing the prices going down, they were still making double-digit returns. Imagine what happens when those oil prices go up like they've been doing lately. It's even better. So you got things like that. The other one is like raw land. I actually have a partnership where the partners, I'm 70% owner, they're 30%, but they're doing all the work. They're buying and selling raw land, leasing it out on terms and things like that. I get paid cash flow. I'll give you an example. I put in about roughly about $150,000 about a year and a half ago. And with reinvesting cash flow and everything else, there's probably been about $250,000 invested, but that $250,000 is now paying me about $7,600 a month. So huge cash flow with not a lot of money invested. And so it's so popular. I never put on my podcast because there's a wait list that's almost 2 years long. So a lot of my clients are saying, hey, I'm going to jump on now, get on the wait list, and then let's do some short-term lending or something in the meantime to at least get paid on my money while I'm doing it. So those are the kind of things that we're working on and doing right now, the how-to. It's just a matter of finding the right people and the right connections and the right, here's a key thing too, is the right recipe for you. Everybody has their own investing flavor. I mean, if anybody ever tells you, hey, this is the one investment you should be doing, you know that they're selling that investment. But I recommend people instead not just do one investment, but find what works for them, what feels comfortable for them. We're not investment advisors, but we do try to connect them with the right people to have great deals. And then they can decide, really which one's the right ones. Yes, we'll offer guidance of where to find the money and how you could be using it, which ones generate cash flow or tax advantages versus those that don't. Maybe it's more growth focused. Again, we try to eliminate the options to make it easier based on your goals. But ultimately, we'd let you take, you know, decide on how you invest it and what you do with that money and just try to make it as easy as possible for you. So it's more of a done with you type of system.
Yep. Love it. Love it. Well, in the vein of time is unbeaten in real estate, time will be unbeaten connecting with Chris. You can do that through his Money Ripples podcast. You can search at Money Ripples on just about any social channel that's out there. But specifically, Chris, where's the one place you want people to go to for sure be connected to you if they have questions about finding that right recipe for income and wealth growth to be a part of your network, a part of your world? Where should they go?
Yeah, like you mentioned, you can follow our podcast, the Money Ripples podcast, on YouTube, iTunes, wherever you follow podcasts. But if you want to know like how much passive income you can create in your situation, you can actually go to moneyripples.com. There's a cash flow calculator there or a passive income calculator that you can use to find out really based on your situation pretty accurately how much passive income you could create over the next 12 months. And so you see that right there on the screen. There says passive income calculator. You click on that, fill out like 10 short questions about your financial situation, and boom, you've got a pretty accurate number that even I would come up with. In fact, that's why I would come up with it, because it's basically my brain put into a calculator.
Right. Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic exercise to go through. And, you know, I would just say as we look to wrap up our time, you know, you go through that. Let's say you are in a dire situation, but like Chris, you're committed, you're working your way through it, you're over the hump, you're on the back end of it. Here's how you get connected to folks like Chris and even folks like myself. I rarely do this. You know, like my podcast, subscribe to it, comment on it. Do the same for Chris. Do the same for his stuff. Be a fan. Be a supporter now. That doesn't cost you anything. You're investing in that relationship for down the road when you do come through the other side. And this isn't a plea for all the folks that are really struggling right now financially to come to you, Chris. It's just more, this is a way to think about money differently. You expose yourself to new money thought, and money responds to stuff like this. And I would venture a guess that if people really commit to connecting to you in that 12 months time, not only will they be further ahead over that bad part in their life than they ever thought possible, but they just might be able to put that money calculator into action at, say, month 9, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, really begin to move forward. And so that's another way you can connect. Folks like Chris put great content out there. Make it a point to follow it. Make it a point to comment on it. Make it a point to share it. You know, the nice thing about this technology is when you do that, if you tag back at Chris Miles, you, someone on your team will see it. You do that enough, you're going to be like, hey, this Jeff guy is pretty cool. You know, and then when you do an event, you see that person on that event live. That's how you connect. That's how you grow. Your mind, your mindset grows. You touched on that. Chris, any parting words?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I would say is this, is that creating a life of freedom, it's different. It's different than where the rest of the world's going, but that's the key, is that you can't follow the same old status quo life. Don't fall into the same trap that happened with my dad, right? Kind of give you a part two of that story with my dad. We were actually just talking a few months ago, and he had to stretch out his dollars as long as he could, right? I mean, that's all he could do. And he was forced into retirement at age 70. He's now 79, never thought he would live this long. He's alive, but he's not living. And I remember I was talking to him just about, you know, we go snowbird every winter because my wife hates Utah winters and she's from the tropics. So we always go somewhere warmer each winter. And I was telling him about that. And he's like, I can't even understand that life. Like that was never a choice that I had in my own life. It's like, good on you for doing that. Because if I could go back, I wish I would have done the same thing. Guys, don't follow the path that my dad did, which is following what Dave Ramsey says and every financial advisor has been telling you to do, which is stuff money in mutual funds and 401ks. And pay off your debt. It's not enough. It's never going to be enough. You will find yourself trapped like everybody else. And especially if we move into a worse recession or depression than what it is right now, you'll find yourself flat broke. Don't be caught there. Do something different. And that's why you're watching shows just like this.
Sage advice. Very smart. Love it, Chris. Thank you for taking the time for my listeners and watchers this week. appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, Chris, this has been great. Everybody else, thank you so much for tuning in. Go out, take this advice, do life and business on your terms this week. We'll see you next week on the Big Ticket Life. Take care.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode of the Big Ticket Life. You've heard from another amazing guest living their own big ticket life, and now it's time to live yours. First, I'd love for you to take me up on my free gift to you. Claim your gift at gift.thebigticketlife.live. That's gift.thebigticketlife.live. See, all your life you've been told what is and what isn't possible by the loudest voices from the cheapest seats. It's time to finally do life and business on your terms. Sure, you've heard similar things, but without clarity on what can be done, it's easy to have your customers, employees, maybe even partners, and your spouse keep you from truly living a big ticket life. My big ticket methods shift you into that investor seat in your business, away from commodity and away from competition, into a market of one, so you can finally live your own big ticket life. So my gift to you is for you to book your discovery call today, where we'll uncover first the CHEVO behaviors, those chief everything officer behaviors that hold you back, and why moving into the investor seat in your own business is critical. Two, we'll uncover the premium position that's up for grabs right now in your market that you're missing out on. And three, which big ticket methodologies are just waiting to be dropped into your business to explode your sales and profits. So again, thanks for listening to this episode. I'd love for you to take action right now, accept this gift, book your call, go to gift.thebigticketlife.live. Again, that's gift.thebigticketlife.live.